Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Oh, just serene, sophisticated, just like warm. This Hat Chat podcast.
Extremely.
Hello and welcome. Episode 54. I am Chris Trott.
Hi, Chris Trott. My name's Ross Hornby.
And hello, listener. My name's Alex Smith. We hope we find you serene this afternoon, evening, morning, or midday, depending on when you want to listen or watch.
Serene, yes.
Super serene.
I hope they're all serene as well. Music was very serene. Who was that by, Trump?
That was by Samarchism. Samarchism. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Like a chism. Like chasm. Chism?
Samarchism.
Chism. Samarchism. Samarchism.
Samarchism. Samarchism. Thanks, Samarchism. It's very serene.
There's a lot more to that track, so make sure you stay tuned to the end for the full version. I just had to take a snippet out of it, of course.
I might turn off. Yeah. Mate, I might turn off. Just saying. I might not
hear you're in it, Ross.
Oh.
You kind of need to be here for the whole thing, ideally.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that. I'll stick around then.
So where has this Hat Chat been? It's been a little bit.
It's been a couple of weeks on and off. You know how it is. We have external work, which is how we like to call it. Which is basically us making Minecraft trailers for the official people at Mojang and Microsoft. And that takes up a lot more time than we used to take up, that's for sure. That's because we take it seriously.
Yes.
We take it seriously. And, you know, they have requests and things need to be done. So, yeah.
I mean, it's a paying job. You got to, you got to make the client happy. So that's what we got to do. And also... Yeah. They actually do really well nowadays. I didn't realize recently they're actually sending us feedback with, like, here's all the places it's been sent to. Yeah. And the most recent one that we've done, which is the Ben 10. Hope you're a big fan. Ben 10 pack has just really exploded on YouTube and Twitter and all that. So,
is it really?
And we did the Japanese version.
How do you define explode?
Like, well, in like the day of it being released, it's at 500,000 views.
Nice.
Coming upwards to a million. And
amazing.
That's just the Minecraft YouTube channel. They also put it on the Cartoon Network channel and the Japanese Minecraft channel. I mean, I had to do so many versions.
Yes.
You wouldn't believe.
The versions you had to cut out.
That I had to make. But that's part of the job. Anyway, we're still not done with those. We still have one more to do. But the bulk of it, we had two kind of at the same time. There's still another one going right now.
And if you listen to these periodically, it's also interrupted stuff for our streaming as well. So if people do watch us streaming, we apologize, but hopefully we'll get back on track soon and that stuff is done. But that's amazing. I didn't realize it was 500,000 views. That's impressive.
It's probably
and
more
if we,
now.
If we could get those kind of views maybe on non-Minecraft based content, that'd be good. Let's figure out a way to harness
all we
that.
Have to do is develop our own pack for Minecraft Windows Edition.
Okay.
Develop it with a really strong franchise and IP,
okay,
and then
on.
Release it on the official Minecraft channel.
Sounds
That's
easy.
How we get those views.
Three simple steps to success. I didn't know this was a self-help podcast. You know,
easy.
Like,
yeah, well, we'll get
anyone
there.
Anyone can do it.
Yeah.
Anyone. But yeah, it was good. Also, fun fact, it's probably not that fun, actually. It's for, Hat Films veterans. Those
nice.
That worked on the Ben 10 pack, two of them that are leading the whole pack, worked on an epic hat venture. That's where they are now.
That's right.
Yes.
Isn't that special?
It's a highly incestuous situation. But yeah, no, it's amazing. It is really cool. It's really cool to talk to people again, like later on. They're like, oh yeah, we did this, we did that. And we're like, oh cool. Yeah, that was a really good bit. Yeah, yeah. So they did actually they did actually get something out of it, and all that work did actually go towards some form of progress for them, which is great.
Yeah. It's super interesting to see like how people have kind of carved a job out of, you know, building making a Minecraft. Stupid map for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, building this is in Minecraft. Amazing thing. Like when you think that, oh, you know, why would you, who's getting paid for building in Minecraft? But there's whole teams that do this stuff and they do a really good job.
It's huge.
And it should be a job. It's, you know, it's worthy of it, the stuff they've created. So if you do have if you have checked out any of those packs or you want to, there's loads to it. It's very interesting.
Absolutely.
Very big scale projects.
Indeed. So talking of big scale projects, when are the documents for the Aliens game released?
Because that's a good point. Like, they're supposed to be this month, right?
Yes.
I've been waiting with bated breath.
June 9th, Smith, I think.
June 9th.
Today is June 4th, if you're wondering, listener.
Ah, okay.
Apparently, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, there's been stuff released in the past. You have no idea what, like, if anything is going to be of interest. You know, it might just be another couple more. I mean, there might not even be any more like footage or anything like that. You know, they might just release a statement saying like, it happened on the first of so and so, some guy saw a blurry shape in the sky. You know, like, you got to be, I'm interested but skeptical that anything. Also, the other thing is I've watched a lot of those UFO documentaries now, and let me tell you, it's one of those things. It's a bit like sort of Channel 5 documentaries where you have to dodge just the wackos and the ones that are like sort of like not even that they're a bit like crazy or something, but they also just don't seem to have a level of skepticism which is healthy a lot of the time. You know, like, I don't think it's a documentary, like a fact-finding documentary, unless there's a level of skepticism. And so, you know, some of the really popular ones on Netflix, it's all very like, yeah, everybody here believes it. You know, like, there's not really like any like decent voices that are like, well, hold on, what about this? And like, what about this? And like, a lot of the people in it, I need to get the specific name of the documentary up, but it's one of the most popular ones recently that was released on Netflix. There's another one on like the History Channel, which is like a 6-part or something. I don't know.
But, that Lazar guy?
So the Bob Lazar's one thing. Bob Lazar's a slightly different one. There's another guy, I can't remember the name of him, but he's got this sort of mustache like this sort of thing. But there's a couple of people. There's another guy, there's a senator who always pops up. But basically, after you've seen a few of them, you start seeing the same characters appearing in lots of different media about UFOs. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, I know that guy. Yeah. He's in that thing. And there's like, oh, and this guy's a guy that was on a boat.
Saw the same voices.
And stuff. Yeah, you know, like it doesn't really lend additional credence to it when there are just multiple different documentaries and multiple different interviews with the same people, if you know what I mean. Like,
I see what you're trying to get at here, Smith.
Right.
This is an audition, isn't it? So if you would like to, now's your chance.
Now's your chance.
Hello. I'm highly skeptical but excited for what might be out there.
That's it.
Hire him.
That's all he has to say about that. That's, he's just skeptical but excited.
But yeah, it is interesting
to see what they're talking about. I guess.
I do wish that there were more, you know, more people and more, you know, people that I feel like I trust a bit more, because there's a lot of like, there's a lot of
like a celebrity,
there's a lot of Americans. All right, there's a lot of Americans who drive big trucks who wear
which celebrity has to say they believe. Which celebrity has to say believe that you would be like, okay, so if Attenborough gets on board on that documentary, would you be like, hang on?
Of course.
If they gave a good and reasonable account of it, I think part of the problem is that a lot of people believe without any kind of doubt in their own hypothesis, which isn't really scientific. Yeah. You know, like, that's not, like not saying that they shouldn't, and not saying that things are real that they're seeing and all these sort of stuff, but a person will see something and then they will just be like, right, that's it. The whole world needs to know that I saw this thing. And it's like, well, that's not particularly scientific to just be like, I've seen it and it's true. You know, like why aren't they more skeptical? You know, like, why? I don't think it's good to have this like circle jerk.
I hate to break this to you, Smith.
Yeah, what?
But there's a lot of things that people see and make assumptions of.
Yeah.
And therefore they become fact. And I'm pretty sure that is just a common thing nowadays.
Yeah.
Fact checking is non-existent.
Sorry, what has happened to Ross for a start? Why is he all squeezed?
I don't know. I don't know why my camera, so for anyone listening, my camera just squeezed my head, so I've now got like a very long, long head. I don't know why that's happened. I don't know if there's a button I can press to get out of long head mode. I don't want to be in long head mode anymore.
It's really good, actually. I think we should keep it.
This is it. What are they called? Cone heads. There was like cone an alien. Heads,
yeah,
cone
that was with
hold on a sec.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's happened. How did this happen? Is there a button?
Has your camera like defaulted, changed your due to 4:3 or something like that?
I can just refret.
Hold on.
There we go. He's fixing.
It's definitely not in my set. Oh, he's gone. Ross is gone.
No, it's your Elgato.
Nice still of him.
It's your Elgato, I think. Because a minute ago, your Elgato symbol came up again. What are you up to over there, Ross?
He's not here. He's been abducted.
Oh, there you go.
Perfect.
Normal head.
Nailed it.
Fixed.
Or is it wide head? That looks wide head to me now. Now
now you use my oblong head.
I prefer the other one.
Oh, okay. Well,
to not focus too much on visuals on a podcast. I know people love that.
Well, that could be an alien interrupting our podcast.
It could be. They're trying to stop us. All right, it's doing it again. Oh, God, they're hacking us.
Oh, God, the aliens.
Make them
thinner. There we go. It's a nice visual gag.
That's a good visual gag for the podcast, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, let's see. I'm not like this is it. This is going to be the big reveal. I'm not sure that if there were aliens necessarily it would be our governments revealing them. If you know what I mean. I feel like it'd be more
I agree.
Public
it'd be like
event.
The sign in Signs when there's a kid's birthday party and he walks past a hedge. Do you imagine that's the way it would happen?
I don't remember.
There
that.
It is. Oh.
So, in Signs, basically, there's a really good... And it was a really good scene at the time. I thought it was actually quite an interesting moment. Obviously, the alien looks kind of a bit stupid. But basically, it's a kid's party. It's a, you know, handy cam footage. So that's when you immediately know it's kind of real. And it's like, oh, wow, this is relatable. I've seen terrible handy cam footage before. But then...
It's got a record box
suddenly,
on it.
All these kids are all like excited because they can hear some weird noise. And like, what's over there? What's over there? Camera looks up, zooms in. Suddenly... leg crosses scene and this alien looks at the camera and they're like, oh my god, crazy, and then it spreads around the world. That is how I imagine it would happen, rather than some grainy black and white footage from a, you know, an aircraft of a tic-tac exactly, which is impressive and interesting. I would love to know what those things are, but you know, the likelihood is that it is probably something also military based, which is, you know, I'd still like to know about. You know, I still want to know what those things are.
If it's military-based, I'm even more terrified.
That's
I'll be
it.
Honest.
Exactly.
There are, you know, people out there that have, you know, technology that allows ships to move without resistance at all.
Yeah.
And could just dunk in the water in and out at will. That's pretty intense.
That's
that was a
crazy
plastic bag.
Sorry if you can
wind.
Hear the ambulance helicopter landing, by the way. So something wow. that I think is a really interesting argument is when you look at the vastness of space, like, and it is massive. It is absolutely
it's a bit bigger,
pretty big.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it's up there.
And the distance between things, it's basically if another intelligence species existed, they must be so far away that we can't detect them, and therefore they're so far away that the physical limitations of light speed, as in, you know, the fastest an object can move based on physical laws is, you know, the speed, well, less than the speed of light, the distances they'd have to travel would be impossible if they obeyed the laws of physics, essentially. So the time it would take to traverse that distance would be far too long for most things. But if they could somehow break the laws of physics, or perhaps they could break the you know, the light speed barrier or any of those sort of things. I mean, wormholes, yeah, is another thing. That would mean that they could possibly have a different access to physics or a different way of interpreting space-time, or like all sorts of other crazy reasonings behind like how they could be here and we can't understand how they could be here, if you know what I mean. So, but for a species for some civilization, some alien, whatever the hell you want to call it, to be at that level, they're basically interdimensional at that point anyway. So, you know, like, as in it's...
The Kardashev scale is what you're talking about.
Right, okay.
The type 2 civilizations, I believe.
Right.
At that point where they are harnessing essentially Dyson spheres around the sun. In order to be at that solar system / galactic scale, mm-hmm. they need to be able to harness so much energy. Therefore, they have already acquired their own solar system and can potentially move it.
Yeah.
So... In order for them to, like, be able to, like you say, traverse the vast distances of our own Milky Way galaxy, they would be very visible and proactive in our own solar system. Mm-hmm.
So is it more likely that whatever it is something that came from Earth, potentially? If this thing is even...
I mean, there could be a whole other species living on the planet Earth that we aren't even aware of. You know, they could be living at the bottom of the sea. You know, we wouldn't necessarily be aware of them. There could be all sorts of other reasons we wouldn't be able to detect them. Maybe they're gases or something, you know, like there is just so many there's so many different reasons for why it could be. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I just doubt that any of those questions are really going to be answered.
Because if they were aliens, do you think the government would actually tell people? Because surely that would scare people.
They
wouldn't want to cause unnecessary reasons. So anything they will tell is probably going to be fairly mundane.
Yeah. So there has actually been mounting pressure from society for them to release these documents.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would have otherwise. However, it also doesn't mean that they're going to release everything, like you say. I think they're going to, the really like interesting stuff that could be potentially like disruptive on a global scale, then they're going to hold that back. They'll probably release something as like an acknowledgement that yes, the footage is real and authentic, and here's a bit more. And I think that's going to be the end of it, to be honest.
I mean you say that there's a growing pressure from the public to release these things, and that kind of wording gets, you know, thrown around quite a lot. Like, you know, when we talk about
BBC News, so
when we talk about European politics and we say, "Oh, pressure is mounting in Brussels for so and so," a lot of the time that's just media and newspapers inventing the concept of people being interested or excited.
50 emails, complaints.
The reality is that it's about a cultural shift, and if there is a government withholding information about something from a public, it's just about the time it takes for that government and that country to shift, and this could be decades, from an opinion about, you know, say isolationism or worry, or you know, the Cold War was very much, you know, paranoia and things like that was used, or rather felt, in America, because obviously they could have been nuked at any time by Russia and vice versa. Like, that these are all cultural feelings that are pervasive through countries. And I think eventually, if we get to the point where people are like, well, what the fuck is going on? So many people, so many of my friends, so many people are reporting or videoing on their phones these things going on. What is happening? And that's when that cultural shift, and then that echoes through government, because government is made up of people that are from that country, right? So the people within government start talking about it, and then the people who are making decisions are like, no, you're right, yeah, I was talking to my so-and-so the other week or whatever, and yeah, let's start focusing on this. And that's really where pressure and change and changes in government like policy, because yeah, once upon a time they might have thought, oh, we don't want to worry people, we don't want to panic people about the fact that we've got a nuclear bomb. But then eventually, you know, they had to start handling it in a different way. But who knows? Yeah. I mean, it's just long, languid periods of time that we have to just spend waiting for people to be okay with the idea or
be
something.
Ready with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's slow. And I guess that's where the friction between sort of conservatism and progressivism comes as well, you know, like, do we really want to know that we're not alone yet? Or like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's where the idea of a panic comes from, I suppose. Also the fact we have a shit ton of organized religions, and if we go and tell them that we've got millions of intergalactic civilizations out there, it's really going to make like organized religion, I think, it's going to have to ask some questions. I mean, I was watching a thing last night about black holes and about there's this giant black holes on the edge of our like universe, essentially. So we're in a solar system, which is in a galaxy, and then there are millions or billions of galaxies as well, right? And then there's outside of that, there's a fucking gigantic couple of black holes that essentially suck matter in from creation, turn that matter into randomness, and then emit it through radiation. It's just mind-blowing.
What did you watch?
It's called...
on Netflix, right?
I tweeted about it. Yeah, it's a documentary. It's quite hard to get your head around, but really kind of crazy.
Is that a working theory, I assume?
Well, no. It's been proven because they used a combination of radio telescopes all around the globe. It's called Black Holes, The Edge of All We Know.
They fired Hawking out there, didn't they? They fired him up there.
Yeah, yeah. Stephen Hawking's in it, and it's about... They had a hypothesis, and this goes back to a little bit about the alien stuff earlier. They had a hypothesis about how they think or where these black holes might be and how they might work, but they had to measure it with something. And the only thing they had was they coordinated. It took like 20 years to set up all of these radio telescopes all around the globe to create one sort of Death Star style, you know, with the laser on the Death Star where it all comes together and sort of like that. They all fired it at this direction at the same time and measured, I think, either radiation. I think they measured a lot of different things, but they measured primarily, I think it's photons or something, or there's some way of measuring gravitational waves or something. Sorry, you will have to watch it. I couldn't get it all. I couldn't become an astrophysicist in one night. They essentially measured information coming back off of that position. Sorry, as
and now you know too much. They're after.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to get you.
Yeah.
You're going to have to mount up.
But yeah, they basically measured it, then they correlated it with what they thought, and then they generated images. And remember there was that image of that black hole that came out maybe last year, the year before? And everyone's like, the first image of a black hole?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, I think I did see that.
That was a result of basically all the data they gathered. They ran a ton of models on this data because it's a radio telescope, not an optical telescope, and then generated an image based on that data, which is accurate. But anyway, yeah, I mean, once you really start looking into this stuff and looking into the fact that there are these literally, like, one of them has the billion times the mass of our sun. That's the size of this black hole. The scale is...
We can't comprehend
it. You cannot comprehend it at all. You cannot comprehend it. This is the problem. But there's just this thing that's just sucking all of everything that exists on the air, like in our universe, like, basically...
Slowly. It's just
there's a good mum joke in here.
Huh? What?
There's a really good mum joke in this.
Oh, what?
Summarize.
Black hole the size
There's
of your mum.
There's a great thing out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Sucking everything.
But it is just mad. And yeah, it's unbelievably hard to fathom, but it really doesn't. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, anyway.
It's mental.
It is just mind-blowing.
So you wouldn't go to a black hole, is what you're saying. Don't book holiday to a black hole.
I wouldn't recommend it.
It'll suck you and you'll never get out of it. If you've seen it, it's
as
start,
much
like, it gets
as you're
going
to get those. TripAdvisor notifications like, come on, the black hole. Everyone's rating it up. No, don't
take
that.
Is it on the
ban
list? I don't think so. Let's go.
Five stars. I went in and never came out. I'm still in here, and even now.
That's how good it is. I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, space is. Space be crazy.
Space do be crazy.
I like to keep up to date on it, you know, on all the launches and all the missions. Particularly SpaceX, because they are actually making waves and changing the pace of everything, really. Yeah. They're just doing some crazy stuff. I love it. But anyway, it's not funny, though, so
it's not,
let's move on to something.
It's not, I guess it's not that funny.
The explosions are pretty lol, but apart from that, that's about
it. Are they
it.
Lol, though? I mean, it's so expensive.
They're pretty lol.
I mean, I know that they're like they prepare for these things and whatever, and you know they've got crazy budgets. But seeing that explosion
expected.
Must cut deep for anyone in there. It's just like, oh, for God's sake, another explosion.
The data's good.
When
they're happy to throw them away.
Would you guys go up into orbit if given the opportunity?
Well, when?
Would you
because
go on
the real question
Galactic
is when
is what you're asking.
Yeah, yeah. Early in the tests or kind of like late stage where it's like they've done,
I'm
enough.
Talking
they've
like
done thousands of these.
Okay, let's say there has been 50 successful launches before, which I think is actually more than what some, I don't know how many Virgin Galactic or SpaceX are actually planning on doing, but it feels like not
they've
that many.
Two, I think.
Yeah, Virgin exactly. Galactic. It feels like they won't get to 50 before they start inviting people on. I think, but I don't know. But, you know, how many would it take? 50 successful trips before you'd go up? It's basically what's your life worth, isn't it? What
I guess
is,
so. It depends, because obviously you got to imagine it's also going to be extremely expensive up to the point where, like, yeah.
Somebody else
is
paying for
40 years. Someone else paying
for
it.
If someone offers it,
I think so. I think it would be nice
50,
to try.
Yeah.
If you've seen that there's 50 gone up, you've got a bit of a level of confidence there that you're like, well, yeah, I'll give it a try.
Pretty 50's pretty low though, and like
it is quite low.
I didn't really want to,
but it's also an exhilarating like new experience. That's like no one else, you know, 50 other, you know, I don't know how many people you get on. How many people can you get on those ships?
Four, isn't it? In Crew four? Dragon?
What oh, in, oh, Crew Dragon. In Crew Dragon, of course.
Might be other
but
things
Virgin Galactic is very different, where it basically goes into the outer atmosphere and then comes back again. That's what Virgin Galactic does.
Yeah, it's amazing. Have you seen it? It uses like a... Oh, man, it was really cool. I was watching it deployed the other day.
It's like vertical takeoff.
Yeah, they fly up into the air this like plane, and then the plane just drops this rocket, essentially, that just ignites and just blasts off up into the sky. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like a cruise missile that you're riding.
It's terrifying, yeah. But it would be exhilarating, like Ross says. Like, yeah. Imagine seeing Earth from like that perspective. It would change everything,
it
I
would.
Think.
I think it would.
Nuts.
Yeah. I think it would change your perspective on reality almost, as mm-hmm. in like not many people get to see the world in such a, from that perspective. So I think you're kind of like, everything would suddenly become a bit more, wow.
Trivial.
This is like, mm-hmm. this isn't just an image on a TV. This is real. This is, the scope is massive.
Yeah.
You know what? I still think there would be a flat earther would be able to go into one of those ships and come up with something that's like,
yeah,
they've got really high definition like eye tracking screens that make me see this planet for what it is. Mm-hmm. This is all a shill.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like surely you can't deny it once you're at that stage where you're like, okay, I'm actually up here now. I'm looking down at this. You could never just go, well, it's flat at that point when you're literally looking at it. Could you? I guess depends. You could if you're stubborn enough.
Well, it depends on their reasons, doesn't it, really? It depends on their reasons for why they believe it. Like, people will tell you they believe something for one reason, but the reality is it's something else entirely. You know, it might be making up for an insecurity or something somewhere along the line. I guess if you show them that.
Or gambler's fallacy. They're too deep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's a sunken cost fallacy.
Sunken cost. That's a better one.
It's, yeah, for sure. Like, they might just be like, nah, I still don't believe it, whatever. You've just lied to me, like you say. Or they might go, no, you're right. You've showed me evidence. But a lot of the time, I think these people with these crazy views, you just show them evidence and it won't change anything. They're that deep. They're that far down the rabbit hole.
It depends if there's something in on it. Like if they've got money involved or like they're making money from their crazy theories.
Well, it's also their
that
pride,
guy who made
isn't
up
it?
The vaccines it's and autism thing where he just made that bullshit up. And then the UK literally took away his medical license and he just went to America and spread that bullshit there and they lapped it all up.
But why does he believe it? Why is he pushing it? Is it for money?
So basically, I think he had a stake in like an opposing jab, I think it was. So basically, he was saying a certain jab was causing it, his was fine.
Right.
So he's basically just making bank off of that. And then I think he ended up with Elle Macpherson, the model. Do you remember the model?
Yeah.
I think she was in Friends. Yeah, he's with her. And he's just enjoying his life, lying to millions of people. And
which doctor is this? Do I know who this is?
I'll find his name because I watched it. It was just on TV yesterday. Vaccine autism liar is what I'm googling. Andrew Wakefield.
Alex Smith.
Andrew Wakefield's the guy. If you believe this guy, please research him because it's not true. And he faked his research and is now making millions upon millions because of it. So, you know, it's like one of those pastors the guys.
Wait, hold on.
This
guy, when you say with Elle Macpherson, you mean they're in a relationship?
Yeah, he was, yeah. I don't know if he is right now, but he was at the time they made this documentary. And this guy was just like, this is insane. This is just insane. This guy's living the life, multi-million contracts, and he's just, you know, with a supermodel and is really just damaging the vaccine industry with his lies. So research him and, you know, just research any of that stuff whenever you're worried about something, because I think half the time when you think something's like a crazy conspiracy, there is something behind it that's going to clear things up for you. Because, yeah, just Google that guy's name and you get this list of things where he was barred from the UK and just went to the US and they just said, yeah, sure, I believe this guy. Fuck that.
What a lad, though, eh?
What a lad.
Lad.
That's it's nuts because now, like, so many people don't trust vaccines because they think they're going to cause some other illnesses and it's just extremely damaging. We all had our vaccine recently, and you know,
we did.
We're okay.
Let's talk about that a bit. So, funny story about that. We actually had, well, me and Smith. Ross is a little younger, so he has to wait a bit. He had to wait a bit longer. We had our confirmation come through that we could book our vaccine. We had it like down for the 2nd of June, but because of the race to get one, there is none in our local area. It's 40 miles away, which for someone in the UK, that's a long way. appreciate relativity. We were like, yeah, let's go for it. No worries. So I just happened to be just shopping center kind of thing, a park, essentially, getting dog food, just grabbing some dog food, going to B&Q and getting some paint, you know, normal stuff. And sure. I went to Boots because I was like, oh, I need antihistamines. And then I noticed that it was a COVID vaccination center at the back of Boots.
Around the alleyway. The alleyway around the back, by the way. Just
yeah. Yeah. There's a guy, in like a long trench coat.
Next to the bins.
Yeah, but again, yeah, it's quiet.
Like, there was a guy like who was like rummaging through the skips, and then he jumped out, but he still had the doctor's coat on.
Yeah, and he has some needles in his hands.
He was clearly like impatient, waiting for someone to come up and ask. So I just took a chance and said, "It's a guy with an iPad, like really like quiet, unassuming kind of guy."
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
He was like, oh, hello, all right, how can I help? And I was like, I know this is crazy, but, you know, if there's any, like, bookings or stuff that have been cancelled, anything being thrown away, are there any jabs going, like, right now? And he was like, oh, let me go check. I think we do, yeah. And he checked, and he was like, yeah, we can get you done now. And I was like, oh, can you get my girlfriend done now? I know she's 27. She's not even close to, like, the 30s or 32s, I think it was at the time. He was like, yeah, get you both in. Done, jabbed, boom, sorted. Out of there. AstraZeneca, by the way, is the one that we got, which obviously isn't the recommended one for under 40s. However, the risk is so small, etc., etc. That I got it done. I was like, yes, get me done now. And I got vaccinated. So
then we all followed.
There is no wrong vaccine. I just want to point that out.
No.
There is absolutely no wrong vaccine. Get whatever you can get. It doesn't matter.
Well, this is the thing, because when they spoke to us at the beginning, they were just like, well, okay, so, you know, 4 people out of 1 million did suffer from blood clots, etc. Obviously, there's various other illnesses they could have had that cause these things, but are you prepared to take that risk? It's like, well, yeah. Like, I mean,
yeah.
You know, we consume all sorts of weird food and processed stuff every day that could cause a problem. Like, you know, 4 in 1 million feels like quite the lottery. If I won that one...
The odds of women getting blood clots from their various period medication is so much higher than the AstraZeneca jab. And they have to take that stuff monthly.
Yeah.
So I think, put it in perspective a little bit, it's fine. Anyway, how do we all feel?
I was fine up to a point where I just felt suddenly just absolutely drained. I had the worst shivers. The day after,
Ross had a really bad time.
The thing is, I almost didn't want to say this to him because I know that some people are worried they're going to get sick or whatever, it was going to cause problems. But like the day after that, I was better than I was just absolutely fine. Like it went away like that. But for like 24 hours, I just felt under the weather. Just felt really drained. Like I didn't really want to get up off the sofa. I was just like, ugh. But you know, after that, absolutely fine. So yeah, there wasn't a lot long lasting effects.
Totally differently.
And you guys Smith seemed to be absolutely fine.
I feel like we were a traffic light system. Ross was red. I was like amber going on green. And Smith just didn't feel anything. Just a bit tired, I guess.
I just got a sore arm from the injection site. But that just happens because you're injecting into a muscle.
Yeah, that's normal.
But I was absolutely fine, actually. That was really surprising. So I got the placebo, I guess. Just saline for me.
Just perfect. A bit of air. Just a little air bubble in there.
She's just airing yours. Can you put some... Oh, she's done it.
Oh, you wanted a vaccine. You said just jab you. So I did.
You did, but just there.
You just like the feeling.
What's that going to do?
Some people just like the feeling.
Yeah, no, yeah, I was luckily very fine. We'll see how I get on with the second one. But yeah,
all good.
Can you actually die from just pure air being injected into your arm?
Yes.
Yeah, don't I think you that. Can. Yes.
Don't do that. Fuck.
Highly not recommended.
Don't do that. It can cause aneurysms because basically, yeah, all sorts of reasons.
It's essentially a clot. It's a blockage.
Yeah, you've just created a little pocket of air that's going to cause your heart to struggle. Will it kill you? Is really it definite nuts. Death? Is it 100% don't have air in your bloodstream? Because I just need to make sure that's never...
Don't... Okay. Yeah, really bad.
Okay. Wow.
But like the chance of that happening, you'd have to inject it. You'd have to inject air into your veins.
Yeah. Embolism, sorry, not aneurysm.
Embolism. Yeah. Embolism. Right. Well, there I mean, don't do that. Bubble. Doesn't sound like a good method of anything. Don't do it. But yeah, otherwise I was fine.
Indeed.
So, and I'm glad I had it done. I'm glad it's done now. That's on to the next one in a few weeks. Mm. So yeah.
Yeah, we're safe. I'm booked in for my safe next boys. One. Yeah, apparently the longer you wait between, the more protection you get. But again, you know, it doesn't really matter.
I don't know if that's true. I'm not sure. I don't know. I wouldn't say that either way. Because that would then encourage people to get the second vaccine like 2 years later.
Oh, no, it's not that. No, it's more like the difference between 8 and 12. Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah, to clarify, to say that is good because it's just how that's how things... Yeah, anyway. Yeah, vaccine.
Also, the earth is flat.
Get on when you're told.
I'll make that clear.
Oh, he's come out with the earth is flat bit.
Yeah.
I've not seen it.
He's not seen it, true, again.
We're going to fire you up in a homemade rocket, Trot. How about that?
That would be great. I'd love that.
It's going to be made of six... trash cans welded together, and then the top we're going to use perspex. What do you reckon?
Safe.
I mean, yeah, it's
very
fine.
Safe sounding.
And then there's a sheet, a big sheet and a tarp we've connected to four ropes, and you've just got to throw it out the back when you're coming back down to slow you down like a parachute, you know, like you got to time it though, so you're going to be dropping straight towards the sea if you're lucky, if we fire you off the beach.
Yeah,
and then you've got to climb out onto the outside of the craft and then unfurl like a 6x6 meter piece of tarp that's connected to the base of the rubbish bins by rope. You just throw it up and then hold on for dear life as you slow down suddenly.
Yeah.
This, mental.
It's quite a strong chance it might get tangled.
Yeah, so this might careful. Not work. This is a big risk, you should know.
I'm willing to take the risk. He's willing. I'm willing to prove you all wrong.
He's going
to
be an astronaut.
Be great.
Well, going back to the discussion of vaccines and I guess... cures, etc. I found a news article here that says Indian doctors are warning against cow dung as COVID cure.
You told us about this like a couple of weeks ago.
The cow dung one.
Yeah.
Was it the cow dung one?
Maybe not. Maybe I've spoken about that with somebody else.
There's so many different ways people have been trying to, cure COVID or avoid getting COVID. This one, I feel, is fairly recent. This one's May 11th, so potentially. Says doctors in India are warning against the practice of using cow dung, and people are rubbing it all over their bodies and meeting up and just smearing themselves in cow dung and urine.
Okay.
Because obviously, in Hinduism, the cow is a sacred symbol of life and the earth, and for centuries, Hindus have used cow dung to clean their homes and for prayer rituals, believing it has therapeutic and antiseptic properties. Now, I don't know. Obviously, everyone knows when they're driving past maybe a farm and that distinct smell. I didn't read the part where they covered their homes in it. That's an interesting angle. You know, most people get a joss stick out and maybe, you know, some flash bleach or something, but they're whacking some cow dung around themselves and property. But I mean, doctors say this isn't a thing, so don't do this. So if you do have access or a nearby a farm, don't cover yourself in cow dung and urine. It won't save you from COVID. So that's just, I don't think you have to say these things, but apparently you really do. You have to cover all bases in 2021 because people will literally do anything. If they hear
this almost seems
they'll do
like
it.
We're looking at video footage now of people absolutely there are people covered
just,
in shit.
They're in a farm. There's loads of cows and they're just rolling around in it.
They're lined up.
Oh God.
And they're doing it in groups.
There's a scene where they're just pouring the cow's milk
all
over
themselves.
Their hair. Wow.
This is so stupid. Oh, why would you do this? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if this is this a religious thing or is this just literally just a wow?
It's partly that. Cows are holy in India, or at least part of certain Indian religions. But it's just, I mean, like, sure, believe what you want to believe, but when you get to the extent of smearing shit all over you and bathing in cows, yeah. there's just no point. It doesn't make any sense. Like when it goes beyond spiritual and you're doing physical things that are just not
known to be harmful.
You don't smear the crap of other animals all over you in general is like a natural law.
Not with that attitude.
Like, you know, we're all human. I mean, despite what you believe theologically, it's hard to refute that we are human beings who are animals, which are part of an ecosystem of this planet. Right. Mm-hmm. And whether or not you're spiritual or have any form of belief is outside of that. What isn't outside of that is that within that ecosystem, most animals defecate and most other animals don't necessarily roll around in that defecation. I mean, very few specialized animals might. However,
dogs
and fox poo is common.
It doesn't improve their lives. And I don't think it would improve.
Tell that to them.
To them. To like, why are they doing it? Why do dogs do it?
I don't know. Why do dogs eat horse shit?
Because it's for the nose smells, smelly stuff.
Like, it's, I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't criticize India or a certain country recommend drinking bleach. I mean, we can criticize both of them. This is the thing. Yes, drinking bleach was stupid as well. Injecting it was stupid as well. You know, like, there's a line here. I just, like... It's just crazy, isn't it? But then, you know, we've probably been shown that as like, this is the norm. Like, this is what's going on all over India.
Sure.
It's probably not. It's probably just a small group of stupid men running a stupid little cow dung.
Well, that footage looked pretty staged to me. I don't know why, but it, like, they were all lined up, ready. Okay, now pour the milk. Everyone pour the milk for this shot.
Yeah.
It's just a bit too perfect.
So obviously, I'm not looking to generalize everybody there, but what we saw there in that video footage was some people rubbing dirty cow shit all over their bodies, and it just
in nice symmetrical lines.
It just makes no sense. It's not necessary to do that. It's mad.
Each to their own.
Each to their own. At some point, we need to stand each up and go, own. That's stupid. And I think for me, that's my line. That's my line.
Okay,
that's his line.
Yeah,
that's you're not going to milk. You're really
talking about today.
The milk.
I'm glad you found
it. Was it the milk or the poop? Or the urine? Because there was also urine involved. They rubbed that on themselves as well.
Yeah.
Is the urine... Would you do one or the other? If someone said, okay, here's some cow manure and here's some cow urine, you could splash around in the urine or you could smother yourself in the manure. Make a choice as a cue.
Urine.
Urine. Okay, brilliant. Mm-hmm. The shower's over there.
Are you?
Urine shower.
I'm in.
Perfect.
Are you?
Well, I'm going to... Well, if you're in for it, I'm gonna jump in. I mean, well, I don't want COVID, obviously.
you're in for a treat.
That's like a billboard advert for a campaign for like pro piss swimming. Like,
pro piss swimming?
You're in.
We're all in.
We're all in.
Oh, my
you're
God.
In.
God. Yeah. You ever piss in a public pool? Is that, sorry, just a personal question? Ever
no, not a public
pool?
One. I don't
I've
think
always been terrified
even
of
accidentally,
doing
even a little pool. Dribble? Little dribbly, oh,
well,
shit,
I mean, maybe.
So.
I've certainly drank a lot of swimming pool water as a kid. I remember coming out of a swimming pool and being really bloated with how much fucking water I'd accidentally drank in a swimming pool. God.
Is there something to do with physics?
What?
And, like, the equalization of pressure of being in water.
That's interesting.
Equalizing your bladder and it just leaking out. Is that normal?
No, I think it's more likely that when you're swimming along as a kid, you're just accidentally scooping up bits of water in your mouth and you're subconsciously swallowing it now and then. And you do it so much in an hour and a half of swimming.
You get really full.
You get really full of pool water, yeah. And that's why as a kid, you'd always get really sick and ill going, like, I don't know if you guys remember, like, going to, as a primary school, we used to go to a swimming pool. And like half the kids would get ill every other Thursday because like...
Yeah.
They
had a couple of verrucas.
And verrucas. Yeah. And it's just like...
Yeah,
I guess I'm so happy that I can swim. I suppose that's what I got out of it.
But essentially, you're just like gobbling up everyone's taint, though. Like, if you really think about what you're doing, regardless of whether they're openly pissing into a public pool, you do have the fact that even though everyone's got their shorts on, the shorts aren't stopping residual.
Anything.
Like, if anyone's a bad wiper, if we got some bad wipers in the crowd, and we're talking about kids using these pools. That's what's going in the mouth when you're accidentally swallowing it.
Well,
that's
don't worry, because
the taint
our
of many.
Local pool was so full of chlorine that I don't think
like how good is chlorine really?
Chlorine's very good. It's just when you have to use that much of it. Because another problem is you're drinking all that chlorine and it's fucking destroying your microbiome in your gut as well. Like
you come out with just blazing red
eyes. Oh, your eyes as well. I mean, there's
the
so
eyes,
many
yeah, you can tell the chlorine level just
swimming.
If you open your eyes underneath the water and you're like, you go out and you're like, God, I feel like someone just put acid in my eyes.
Yeah, real bad. Real bad. And it gives some people with asthma, it can trigger their asthma. Chlorine's just not good
for
you.
That makes sense.
In any way, really. It's just bleach.
I had child asthma.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be just that, I imagine, but it can.
Nah, it's got
to
be that.
It can cause people with asthma to have asthma reactions. But then also, funnily enough, some ingredients in fruit squashes can also do that. I don't know if you ever knew that.
Interesting.
Some certain ingredients in certain fruit squashes can also trigger asthma, like symptoms. Oh. But anyway, I mean, it's the price we pay for having a pool that we can manage and doesn't have like anything in it. But ideally, I don't think you really want to go in public swimming pools, do you?
No, it's hard to take the image out of that now. The chlorine doesn't do enough for me to think that, well, now if I accidentally just get a little of that water in my eyes, you've just got like hundreds of people's
fecal matter
bits
all up in there,
pubes and teeth.
Lovely.
I looked up briefly during that poop talk. I mean, we can keep it on poop, we can move on from poop, I don't mind, but this was something that Murphy really enjoys. Is he loves he doesn't love it because I don't let him do it, but he really wants to eat horse poo. And I don't know why. But there are 7 reasons here why dogs eat horse poop. Does Mochi 7. Go for the horse poop?
No, she doesn't. She avoids. She's actually quite... what's the word where she just avoids everything? Oh, don't want to get that on my fur and things like that.
She's just very particular, very...
particular.
I don't know. Prudish? Fussy? I don't know. Not prudish.
She won't put out.
Why won't she put out? Well, okay, so she won't eat horse poop, but Murphy really wants to.
She'll
eat
avoid
it.
Puddles.
Really? Okay, so she's very delicate.
Delicate.
Little sausage. I mean,
she'll sniff it. She'll sniff horse poo and stuff, but she'll be like, no.
Not for me. But she's eaten poo before, though. I swear that we've heard that she has devoured
her own shit.
That's all right then.
Of course, that's entirely different.
Everyone loves their own brew.
I know what I ate. I'll eat that again.
Yeah.
I also read
what are we
that.
Having for dinner? Apparently ooh, same as last night.
It's really not, apparently, for dogs.
Yeah.
Nowhere near as bad as we think it is. Like, we obviously impose our own, like, thoughts on eating our own shit onto dogs eating their own shit. But apparently dogs' shit isn't that bad for them. For them.
I guess, well, it says here that, so horse poop isn't actually that bad for them. But certain dogs can smell it from really far away. So they actively try to find where that poop is coming from.
So Murphy loves it.
He loves it. And my other, Archie, my lab, my parents' lab, he would devour it. Like, he rushed to it and just chomp, 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 chomp. And he would just, like, shake his head around. He was loving it. He was just eating it actively. And it was really weird and disturbing to see, because he just bolted to go grab it. And that was all he wanted. But apparently it's because it's, dogs like to eat things like grass, hay, fruit and veg and stuff. And it's all kind of mulched into
this
package.
There's nutritional value in it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Their bodies can process it. And there is nutritional value. Not to mention all the pheromones and stuff that get released in it and that stuff. They love the smells.
Yeah, that's it. So they like.
But anyway,
they actually
what are
like
the
taste
top 7?
Well, top one is horse poop tastes good to them because of the reasons I explained. Those
thumbs
factors.
Up.
So that's a thumbs up. Tastes good. Why not?
Tastes good.
They do it to protect their pack. Now, I'm not really... what do they mean by this? So instincts left over from ancestral days of being wolves and wild dogs. And this relates to the next possibility. Dogs like to eat horse poop as a way to protect their pack and younger relations.
So I can understand it with their own. So like when puppies are in a litter in their own like hideout and they start shitting everywhere.
Yeah.
That's bad for like health in general. So the mother would often eat all the poop to keep their den clean, essentially. Mm. And that makes sense. I don't know how that extends.
But then
to
what do they do with
sure
it after?
Poop.
Oh, I'll go and poop. Well, hold on. They're eating the puppy's poo is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
The puppy's poop. And I think adult dogs can process that better than puppies can. So I joined in, obviously, and I've got to keep it clean.
Number three here says, as investigative and scavenging behavior. So I think they're just, obviously, they naturally you know, discover things with their mouths, and they're just trying to see what that stinky, kind of tasty thing is. So it's an investigative thing. Number four, to replace nutrients or an enzyme deficiency. So again, I think it harks back to number one, where there are, you know, nutrients and stuff in there that they just really love.
Enzymes, yeah.
I think the other thing I wanted to question was, why is it that horses are allowed to openly shit, and that's just allowed to be left there?
They're huge as well.
Like,
it's insane.
What kind of upper class bullshit is it that they're allowed to do that, whereas you will get a fine if you leave dog shit laying around? Mm-hmm. And yeah, obviously there are a lot less horses. Off, they'll stand in it. Sure, there are a lot less horses, stems, but they give a lot bigger shits, I'll tell you that.
It probably stems from the fact that we used to have horses in the streets a lot as a primary mode of transport. So, like, street sweeping probably came in as, like, a way of, like, countering that. And you pay your taxes to clean up the shit that your transport horse is using. And then it's just never changed, because as horses became less popular, it was less of a problem. And because dog fouling itself is a specific crime, right? You're not going to get fined because your cat broke out of your garden and took a shit on the corner three houses down. Like, that I don't think is considered a crime. It's dog fouling.
Dogs are domestic, right? And then they're out and about, it's because you're with them.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I guess, if your dog broke out and did a crap all over somebody's front lawn and then they found out it was you, I think you'd still probably be on the hook for it.
Right.
Which isn't the case with cats. Is what I'm saying. Well, I think it's been specifically legislated.
I want to know the limitations of what you can do with a horse. Could I pull up a horse to someone's front garden, let it shit openly, or maybe onto their driveway, and then just trot away and laugh and maniacally?
I think that would probably be considered a different crime. I think that would be perhaps assault.
Really?
If it was a drive-by.
Yeah.
If it was a drive-by, like, assault, it'd be all right.
Assault is sort of fly-tipping. Assault is actually...
Maybe don't revel in it.
Not like... yeah. Doesn't require physical contact, assault. It's just causing the victim to fear the application of unlawful force. So if you're there taking a crap on their front lawn with your horse, laughing at them and engaging with them, that's probably going to be somewhat bizarre / somewhat intimidating.
Duel me! Come out here and duel me!
So yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like that. Yeah, if you shouted duel me, that is 100%
duel me,
assault.
Let him shit. Yeah.
So, you know.
Can you still duel? Can you do the old, like, glove thing?
No.
You can propose it.
When was that outlawed?
I couldn't tell you when it was outlawed. Probably
when was dueling
early
outlawed
20th century
in the UK?
I'm gonna say, like,
have a guess.
I'm gonna say, like,
have a guess.
Turn of the 1900s. I reckon late, maybe 1890 or something like that.
1850. Go.
I'm trying to find it.
He doesn't know. Well, while you're trying to find that, I'll just go through number five. Number five here, it says to self-medicate themselves. So again, that goes back to the nutrients. It feels like they've really extended this list, because that could have been like three in one there. Number six, horse manure can look like a tasty treat. Well, that also harks back to number one here. This is a three-rule thing. This is ridiculous. And it doesn't look that tasty.
No.
It's blobby. It's all like globules, and then there's straw in it, sure, but does that
depends how many times it's been ran over, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. The one I saw recently was, like, did compounded have some clean tire prints.
Does he only go for, like, the big blobby ones, or will he go for one that's been, like, compounded on the ground a million times?
It was wet, it was rainy at the time, and he went for that one. It was all kind of mulched into the kind of cobbles at the time. I believe he was trying to get that one.
Did he get a good meal out of it?
So the dollops, he didn't grab no he grabbed a tiny bit before I was like, hang on, leave it, because I don't know what this is going to do to you, but apparently it won't do much. It says your dog is just hungry. Maybe he was hungry.
Just let him eat. So there you go. Just let him eat. Yeah. This dog looks around at you like...
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
He's hungry.
Are you kidding?
To be honest.
You're going
to
let the free dog... The free horse shit.
I'm starting to think that horse shit might actually be nice at this stage of my fast.
maybe go for it. Why don't you explain what that is to anyone who is listening?
I will, but... Just before we do that, the last duel in England was 1852.
Oh.
Between two French political exiles, apparently. The last ever duel was 1859 in America.
And these are recorded. So these are recorded duels, though. They're private duels, I'm sure.
Third party duels, some off the cuff duels,
some backyard duels.
Yeah,
backyard duels.
The decorum. I've decided to fast, and I'm on day 3 of fasting. Highly recommend, if you ever do this sort of thing, you do your research, of course. But I just thought I'd do it just to break some habits of caffeine addiction. There are some benefits to fasting, like metabolic disease reduction, that sort of thing. And it's not intermittent, it's full-blown. I'm water fasting. I haven't eaten in 3 days.
Oh my goodness.
So I highly recommend you don't do this unless you know about it and have done strict research and maybe talk to your GP, that sort of thing. I didn't because I'm an idiot. But I've done a lot of research and I've done it before. But yeah, day 2 and day 3 suck, I will say. Really suck. You're just hungry all the time. And you're just eyeing up, you're just fantasizing about things.
We had a cheeky McDonald's in front of you. Was that an upsetting experience? That was yesterday.
In the warehouse. Yeah. We broke for lunch. Big old McDonald's around me. You know what? It wasn't as bad as the smell of the coffee mug that we left in there from last time.
Oh, so this isn't even on video because it just was an off chance.
So we can explain it.
Yeah. Smith, why don't you explain it? It happened to you.
There was this really gross smell in the warehouse, and we thought it was some of the bins. So we've taken the bins out now. We've thrown them away. However, from the last shoot, there were quite a lot of baked beans everywhere because I got baked beans poured all over me. We cleaned them up pretty well. We hoovered it all up, cleaned it all up, wiped it up, put it into bin bags. And occasionally we were getting and then we left them from the last shoot a couple of weeks ago, basically. So we've come back and we're like, right, okay, we need to get rid of these bins. God, they do smell a bit, don't they? And there was like a bit of a waft and a bit of a, whew, got it. What is that smell? And it sort of smelled a bit like baked beans. And we're like, God, that's just really not nice. And anyway, a couple of hours went by and we were like, yeah, no, there's a smell over here, there's a smell over here. And anyway, we went to McDonald's and grabbed some coffees and things. And yeah, we had some coffees and some food, blah, blah, blah. Coming up to the end of lunch, I go and grab my coffee off of the top of the table where we've all been putting our coffee cups down. I pick it up and I take a swig and I'm like, oh, that's stone cold. And then I was like, oh, like, and I don't swallow it. I'm like, oh my God, what is in my mouth? I run over, spit it out, and put it down. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And it turned out the thing that smelled wasn't the beans. It was a coffee that had been left out since my birthday, I believe. So
almost 3 weeks.
Before
right?
your birthday.
Before my birthday.
3 or 4 weeks. 3 weeks.
It was about... half a McDonald's latte that had been left there for 3 to 4 weeks at room temperature. And so there's a lot of milk content. And I just took a whole mouthful of that.
The way it happened was so funny because Smith was walking around with this coffee cup being like,
oh, yeah, I was
really
holding the coffee cup. And I was like, God, where is that
really
smell coming from?
We need to get rid of that bin. Yeah. And then he just takes a swig. And then I saw him just spit it out into the McDonald's paper bag. So gross, but so funny at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's like the thing we were complaining about this whole shoot was that smell. Stench. And Smith drank
that smell. Yeah. Really went in for the hit of the whole fruit, as they call it.
Yeah.
So funny.
You didn't vom though, so that's good.
Beside
himself.
Yeah, Craig was loving it.
Craig was loving it. You know when you got Craig when he doesn't breathe laughing. That much. It's very quiet, but you hear squeaks out of him. That's when you got Craig. Got him good.
When he can't stand up. He goes from like nothing to I can't stand up, like laughing.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we weren't filming, so unfortunately, this is all you get to hear about it because it was in between shoots, so we didn't have the cameras rolling. We were setting for something else, so it was just a fluke, funny moment that we all got to witness.
There you go. You can imagine that in your mind's eye.
That was worse than eating a slug, definitely. The slug was unpleasant. Yeah. This was like, I don't want that.
Even the sour cream. Remember the sour cream?
Again, rather than sour cream. That was like those were like predictable tastes. Like I know what bad cream tastes like. I could prepare.
What was
for
in
it.
That latte to make it so smelly, though?
It was just gone off milk.
It tastes.
Like
I tell you what, it tasted a bit like meat.
Yeah.
Like a bit beefy. Oh. Like honestly, I thought somebody had put like.
It was really dense. A bit of that smell.
Beefy.
It was so bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Holy crap!
God.
You know what? I think that's a good way to end it. Yeah. To be honest, we are at the hour mark. Okay. We'll leave you with that wonderful imagery of Smith downing a 3-week-old coffee.
I think it's a lesson to everyone. Either throw away your trash, which is what we should have done in the first place, or check your drinks before you glug them down immediately.
Guzzle them like a hungry little baby lamb.
Oh, finish. Oh, top this off.
Holy shit.
Oh, man.
Well, oh, my God. Hey, you know what? This has been some great entertainment, and it wouldn't actually exist, I'd say, without our Patreon supporters. So thank you, Patreon. Patreon.com/HatFilms. You're keeping us going, Hat Chat. Every time we think, oh, we should really do a Hat Chat, it's like, yeah, we need to do it for them. We need to do it for them.
We're not doing it for our sponsors. Who are they?
Hell no, because
they are our sponsors.
Also, huge thanks to everyone that has submitted a Fingle recently.
Yes.
You can also submit one to our email address, hatchat@hat-films.com. And don't forget, there is the visual element. You missed out on people smearing themselves in mud and milk.
I know. An oblong version of me as well. That was in there
mud
as well.
Mud I'd have no problem with.
Not just so mud.
It was cow shit, Trot. That wasn't mud. It was cow poo.
Right.
It was cow shit and piss. And milk.
It was cow shit.
All cow products.
Yeah, all those visuals along with us are on our YouTube channel, Hat Films.
It's Hat Chat Podcast.
Podcast.
Yeah, that's
my brain is.
I know, that's fine. It's the lack of nutrients. It's fine. It's all the water fasting.
I've got nothing.
But Hat Chat Podcast, go on YouTube and check that out as well.
Indeed. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Please enjoy the extra long version of the Fingle by the wonderful Sam Archism. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks, hopefully.
Indeed.
Bye.
Bye.
Ta-ra.
Bye.